Yeah, it would be great if Jesus actually did show up and dummy-proof all of our decisions and help us to change. And we're actually having tools to do that in the midst of our series. Today is the last week, and we're going to go a step deeper. We're going to not just talk about change, some of the things we change on the outside, different practices and such. We're going to talk about transformation. And to lead us in that discussion, we are bringing back by popular demand a friend of mine all the way on the other side of the pond from Scotland. His name is Carl Martin. He's from Scotland. Aye, laddie. Put another shrimp on the barbie. Why, Irie. Please welcome Carl Martin from Scotland. Yes. Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
That was appalling. Absolutely appalling.
I enjoyed it, though. It was fun.
Yeah.
For me.
What was that? Was
as long as I'm having fun, that's really all that matters.
Australian, American, Indian kind of thing going on
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
Just poor.
Yeah. So, Carl, tell us a little bit about you and the church that you pastor in Scotland, in Edinburgh.
Married to Nikki, four teenage daughters, hubba hubba. And I pastor a church in Edinburgh, which is about 750 people, so a little smaller than this. But 75% of them are under 30, so that's quite unusual in our culture.
Well, and actually it's unusual, very unusual, to have any sort of church that large in Scotland. You're virtually the largest church in the country.
Yeah, one of them, yeah.
And it's crazy things that are happening there. And Carl's going to talk in a little bit about some of the cultural context about how Scotland is different than us, and how we can go to school in Scotland, because what's happening in Scotland is exactly what's happening here right now. As a result of the cultural differences of people, you know, not being as open to going to a place like this, you're doing some different things in ministry that we're learning from.
So we run what we call missional communities, because we recognize that it's not the same for us. People aren't just going to show up in church if we invite them in a clever way or a nice way. People don't do that. So we want to go where they are. And so we run these things called missional communities. And I basically say to people, we want you to run with the dreams that God has placed in your hearts. So I don't know what they are, and I don't know the people that you know and love, but you do, and you take responsibility. Off you go. We'll just help you.
So these are things that are not necessarily top-down, the leadership of the church says, hey, let's all do this. They aren't necessarily even reflected in your budget, but these are groundswell communities that come together and say, hey, we could do that.
Absolutely.
Let's do that. What are those things that are being self-started by people in your community?
So one of the communities is they call themselves Soul Surfers, and they're a surf community, man. They kind of, dude, totally amazing. And they started off by, you know, as they would be, laid back. About six of them said, we want to reach the surf community in Scotland. Now, you have to understand, this is not like Mincy surfing in California or something.
Nice
this
soft sand.
Yeah, blonde hair. This is Scotland. This is freezing cold.
These Craggy are, rocks
these
on the
are
beach.
Men. You know, they're surfing away. And just in the last year, what they've done is they bought a camper van, really cool VW camper van, and they go down to the beach, and they have about 60 now in their community after a year, and they're seeing all these people come to know Christ in incredible ways. So that's great.
Give us another example.
That's so we've got, we have a community called Centurion, which reaches out to the armed forces. We have a number of barracks in our city, and we're seeing stacks of them coming into the life of our church. And what happens is these guys, when they go to the front, when they go to Afghanistan or elsewhere, they get given an iPod, and these guys load it full of my sermons, my talks, my messages. Sad, really. But there you go. And they listen to them. And I get letters from the front line saying, you know, someone gave me, we all listened, the whole lot of us, we listened to you speaking, and then we went out to war. And that's quite a moving thing. So we're seeing people getting transformed, lives getting saved. But it's not that I said we need to do these things. It's that everyone just said, you know, I'm going to run. I'm going to go for this. Make it happen. And we just facilitated it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, let's let Carl have the whole stage. And Carl, take us down the home stretch here in this series.
Good morning, Crossroads. It's great to be here. I absolutely love coming to the States. It's a blast for me because there's so many similarities and yet so many differences. You know, so we've given you so much, to be honest. We gave you a language and then you kind of improved on it. So we have kind of tomato, potato, potato. We have all that kind of stuff. We good? No? There you go.
It might be mine.
Is it mine?
What should we do?
Okay, let's try 1, 2, 3, 4.
Who does what?
Who's
awkward.
Can you guys go to swap out? That'd be okay.
We'll swap out?
So it's his is bad?
It's mine.
They were both yours.
They're both bad?
Mine was going bad before.
Just talk amongst yourself for a moment. We'll be back. Switch that out. One, two, three, four. Way! Hello, Crossroads. So we've given you so much stuff. And we're back again. We have given you so much. And there are so many differences between us. You know, so we've exchanged things. We gave you Piers Morgan and One Direction. You gave us Miley Cyrus. Fair trade. You know, but there are significant differences. Do you know, when we play a World Series, we invite other nations to take part. Just saying. We gave you football, and you changed the shape of it, made it ridiculously complicated, and then you legalized violence and called it Super Bowl. We will never, ever do fanny packs. Just saying. And we do not do guns. We don't do guns. You see, the problem is, if we did guns, we'd probably invade France. So there are so many differences. I am super excited to be able to close out this series. And I want to talk about change and transformation. A few years ago, Nikki and I been married for about 10 years, and it got to Christmas Eve. And all the things had been done for Christmas. You know, the presents had been bought. Nikki had bought all the presents for Christmas. And I'd preached all the sermons and done all the stuff. And then it was Christmas Eve, and I realized I had not bought my wife a gift. Oh, what an awful husband. And I began to panic because all the things I thought about doing just seemed lame. And if I can't buy her perfume, she'll just think I didn't think about it at all. And so I began to think. And then I thought, I've been married 10 years. I can probably do lingerie. And then I thought, I've got no idea where you get lingerie from. You know, I know if you're in America, you get it from Victoria's Secret, but in Britain, where'd you get? I have been to Gap. And I have seen in Gap that there is a special section of Gap where there are, you know, things that unmentionables. And I went up to that section, and it was hot, and I was hot, and it was, you know, I was in a big long trench coat, Mac. It wasn't a great look. I got up to this department, and the moment I got to this department, I froze and panicked. I mean, I've never seen so many different. Are you girls? You have so many different kinds of underwear. How do you, you know, big, small, the whole, you know? And then I'm thinking, I don't even know my wife's size. I mean, I know her. Don't use your hands. I know her size, but I don't know the numbers. I wouldn't know the numbers, so I start to panic. I'm sweating away in my long trench coat, and then this woman starts to approach me. I think, oh no, a woman is approaching me, and she's going to ask me a question, and should I kind of compare her to my wife? No, don't do that. That's not going to go down very well. And so she comes to me, and she says, can I help you, sir? And I panic, and I say, it's okay, I'm just looking. You know, as I speak in different places and move around in different cultures, One of the things I discover is that generally there are people who are just looking. They're searching for something more, for something different, for something better, for change. You want to improve yourself, don't you? You want 2014 to be better than 2013. You want it to be better materially. You want it to be better financially. You want it to be better relationally. You want it to be better health-wise. And I'm here to tell you something. Change is amazing, and it's good, and it's great, and it's possible. But transformation is better. I mean, change is all about behavior modification. If I shout less, love more, you know, spend less, eat less, whatever it is. But transformation is about belief modification. Change is about the external, superficial stuff. Transformation is about the deep, internal stuff. I think 2014, God invites us into whole life transformation that changes everything. And so we're going to check out some words that come from one of the most famous Christians of all time, one of the most intelligent guys of his generation, a guy called Paul. He was one of the followers of Jesus. And he writes this letter to a bunch of believers, a bunch of Christians, a bunch of followers of Christ in a place called Rome. He was the center of the known world at the time. And he writes this complex stuff about who God is. He's all-powerful, and he's merciful, and he's incredible. And who we are, we're rebellious, and we turn our back on God. And he talks about the collision between those two positions. And he says the collision is that God does something about it. He sends his son Jesus, who fleshes out God for us so that we can see what God is like. And he goes to a cross and he dies and he rises again so that you and I might be forgiven. We can have life in all its fullness and we can have this life transformation. And he says it in 11 chapters. And much more intelligently than I said it just then. And then he gets to chapter 12 and he says, so. Two letters. One word, but it's like the application of all that stuff. Therefore, why didn't you read it? Should we read this out loud together? Why don't we read this with me so we can get it in our heads? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me try something. Change. Something incredible happened last week in this place. 715 of you signed up for some kind of run thing. Some pig run bacon running pig thing. You know, I mean, how fast can a pig run? So let me do this. Why don't, if you signed up for that, would you humor me and just stand up so we can see you? Come on, let's do that. Where'd it go? Let's give them a big round of. Where'd it go, guys? Good job. Good job. You see, that's amazing, but that's change. What would transformation look like? Transformation would like saying, look like me saying, do you know what? I want the best, fittest life I can have. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to exercise well. I want to be alert and awake throughout 2014. And I'm going to do it in a running group in community. That's transformation. Some of you made New Year's resolutions this year. Some of you said, in 2014, I'm going to drive the speed limit. Some of you ought to make that resolution. That's change. But transformation, what would that look like? It would be maybe 2014, I'm going to slow the whole of my life down. Because at the moment, it's crazy, crazy busy. I'm running at 1,000 miles an hour. I'm trying to get everything done. And I'm going to smell the coffee. And I'm going to spend time with God. And I'm going to spend time with my friends. And I'm going to enjoy this life that God has given me. Change is good. But transformation is better. And the Apostle Paul says this, don't just be changed, be transformed. And the word that he uses is a Greek word, it's the word metamorphosis, and some of you know exactly what that is. It's changed from one form to another form. It's kind of high school biology, remember? The little caterpillar goes into the little chrysalis, and the little chrysalis pops, and the butterfly comes out. It's changed from one form to another form. He says, you want transformation. You don't just want temporary change. And if you want this, you've got to do something. You've got to go all in. Don't hold anything back. You've got to go all in. All the chips on the table, your shirt off, stand up, go all in. Everything on the table, if you want to do this. That's worship, he says. Worship isn't just singing songs and praying prayers. Worship is the whole of you for the whole of life, all in a relationship with the God who created you and loves you. That's what worship is. He says, you've got to go all in. He says, it's difficult because there's a choice you have to make. The choice is this: you get conformed or you get transformed. Conformed, you let the world own you. You let the philosophies and the ideas and concepts of this world own you and boss you. You let them soak into you and cause you to act in certain ways. Transformed, you let God have you. Every part of you, from the inside out. You got to go all in. Because what is at stake is your best life. What is at stake is the best you for the best life. God's will, his pleasing and perfect will for you individually. That's what's at stake here. And Paul says you've got to think differently. Your brain is incredible. Do you know that? I know it's Sunday, but your brain is incredible. Right now, there are millions of sensory neurons running around in your head. You're thinking a whole stack of things. There are probably 3 billion things happening in this room, and your brain is so clever, you can filter and you can delete things so you can hold about 60 things in your head right now. So some of you are thinking right now, I love this church, it's fantastic, and the free coffee is amazing, and the white chocolate coffee is wonderful, but I had too much of it, and so I should have gone to the restroom. I just need to pee. I hope he hurries up. And this guy is not as funny as I remember him when he came last time. Bring back Chuck Mingo, Super Bowl of preaching. I hope Chuck Mingo opens a whole can of whoop-ass on Brian's home next weekend. And you're thinking all of that right now, and now you're back with me. And you thought all of that, interestingly, in an English accent. It's amazing. Your brain is a leader. Paul says you've got to think differently. You see, what you think, you do. And what you do, you live. That's what happens. Let's put it more cleverly than that. Your beliefs form the actions of your life. And the actions of your life form the outcomes of your life. So what you believe, in a sense, is true. That's what happens. Let's road test that for a moment. So the outcome of your life that you want to see in 2014 is, you know, I would love to have a family life that is deep and rich and meaningful. I would love my kids to be around. I would love for us just to have this safe. That's a great outcome, isn't it? When you just love that. So what actions do you have to take? Well, you have to get home more. Stop staying at the office late. And once you've been at the office late, don't go down to the bar with your friends. Get home with your kids. But that's just change. What do you got to believe to make that change so that the outcomes are different? You've got to believe that the best home life is a home life where mom and dad actively and obviously love one another. You've got to believe that the best thing you can give to your kids is your time and not just your money. They need you. Do you see how this works? The same is true with God. Some of you have got an incredible outcome that you want this year. You want to have a passionate, personal relationship with God 24/7, the whole time. You want connection. That's a great thing to want. So what do you got to do? You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to probably join a community at Crossroads so you can get people interacting into your life. You're not going to be able to do it alone. But that's just change. What's the belief that is going to force that change? You got to believe that God is good and he loves you and he has a plan for your life and he has the best life for you. And if you don't connect with him, you're never going to live in a relationship with him. Does that make sense? You got to believe and think differently. And we've got to think differently about truth. Let's take a real deep dive. You're with me, because this is the battleground of our generation. We've got to think differently about truth. See, God is saying something really interesting. My truth is not just one truth in the arena of truths. My truth is absolute truth. It's truth that you can base your life upon. My truth is, my book is not just to be found in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble alongside Oprah. You know, this is, it's not God, Oprah, Oprah, God. You know, this is, God's got a book out and he has things to say about money and relationships and life and sex and any other decisions that you need to make. He's got something to say. He says this is truth. It's absolute truth that you can pin your life on. And we don't like that. Our generation, our culture doesn't like that. We don't like absolute truth. Who died and made you the boss of me? We don't like it at all. We like relative truth. It's your truth. It's my truth. It's anyone's truth. It's whatever truth. You know, that's what we like. But we do like absolute truth when it comes to football. We like instant replay truth. The ball's on the line. You know, we like that. We like absolute truth when it comes to evil dude getting his dues, don't we? We like absolute truth. We just don't like it up close and personal with us. Let me try something. Put your hand up if you're a guy here, if you're a man here. Come on, man. Do you know, I need to speak to you for just a moment. If you're anything like me, you've got a problem with this because you don't want anyone to be the boss of you. Because we were brought up to be independent, to run our things, to fix our things, to own our things. And even though sometimes we know it doesn't work, that's how we were brought up to be. And then we have a real problem when it comes to IKEA. You know what I'm saying? So I go to IKEA. I get my flat pack. I hate IKEA. I think the devil is redesigning hell based on IKEA outlines. Just saying. So I go to IKEA. If you're a man, you undo the pack and you get out these things called instructions. And then you do this to them. You go, IKEA is not the boss of me. Sweden is not the boss of anyone. Got good meatballs, but I heard they're a horse. And then you start building, and you build with the silly things like this, and you build with the things like this. And the result is this. I got jars all over my house with the things that should have gone in the IKEA stuff and never went on the IKEA stuff. And I start having to use a hammer, which you're not supposed to use. You nail kind of 6-inch nails through these bookcases just to keep them there in super glue. And all over my house, there are Billy bookcases. Oh yeah, Billy. They're Billy bookcases, and they are wonky, and they have the strips the wrong way around. And it's one thing when it's a cabinet. It's another thing when it's a life. See, I have scars in my life. Of the times when I said, I'm not living under that financial authority, and I'm not committing myself in that relational way, and I'm deeply affected by those things. God's got truth out. And some of us are thinking, you know, we grew up in church, and we really don't like this talk about absolute truth, because we know what that sounds like. I've got 4 teenage daughters. This is why I spend a lot of time in the States. And the 4 teenage daughters, when they were kids, they weren't normal. You know, normal kids play cops and robbers, you know, doctors and nurses. My kids played church. So I'd come home from church to church. And I'd walk through the door, and Esther, who was 3, would greet me. Come in, sir. And she'd greet me, and then someone would hand out a hymn book to me, and then we'd do worship. And then we'd take up the offering. And then Lydia, who's my oldest, who's the most like me, she said, I'll be dad, I'll preach. And she'd stand on a chair. And she'd open a Bible and she'd stroke. Apparently this is what I do. She stroked the Bible. Blah, 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 blah. Some of you guys, you know, you didn't do church so well because it was boring and irrelevant and dull. But many of us found it difficult because we were made to pay for it, or we felt. It was authoritarian. We were told what we couldn't do more than what we could do. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't dance, you can't swear, you can't do anything, you can't have life. God is about the word no. And so what we did was we did really bad math. We equated God with church and church with God, and so we ran away from church and we ran away from God. And the interesting thing, we thought we were just running away from the concept of God, but we were also running away from the attributes of God. So we put God in the rearview mirror and we drove away from him. But the thing is, behind us was his wisdom and his purpose and his love and his life and his truth, because he's the source of all those things. And so, of course, we began to do stupid, because the source of wisdom was behind us. And of course, we began to look for love in all the wrong places, because the source of love was behind us. And of course, we began to feel purposeless, because purpose was behind us. And into the vacuum of all that authority came a whole bunch of other authorities. So culture became our authority, what everyone else is doing. Or tradition became our authority, what people have always done, and it suffocated us. Or feelings became our authority and they lie to us. Or reason becomes our authority and we have made ourselves God. And here's the thing. When an individual or a group of people or a nation puts God in the rearview mirror and puts truth in the rearview mirror and drives away, then at some stage we will reap the whirlwind. That's what happens. So the nation of Scotland, the nation I love and the nation I lead a church in, you know, many, many years ago, almost everyone was in church believing the Word of God and believing the Bible and living according to his plan and purpose. And today, about 2% of people are in Bible-believing churches today. And because the church is supposed to be the disseminator of this truth and this grace and this love of God, and because the church is supposed to be the preserver of society, it's supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and because the church is supposed to be the creator of good culture, and the church has caved, what's happened is the society is caving. So today in Scotland, somewhere between a half and two-thirds of babies born are born out of wedlock. It's just the way it is. Today in Scotland, the greatest social disease is loneliness. Elderly people are desperately lonely because there is not a community of people who will get around them and love them. Today in Scotland, in some wards and constituencies, the average life expectancy of a man is 53 years of age because of alcohol and drug abuse. And this is a nation that is a nation that sent missionaries all over the world, but has conformed and not been transformed and has turned its back on truth. And here's the thing, guys. My present is your future. My present is your future. You look at any of the statistics, they will tell you that. My present is your future. What my nation needs and what you might need in 2014, if you want to see transformation, if you want to live according to truth, is an encounter with Jesus. Because you see, what Scotland, the thing about Scotland is what it hasn't done is run away from truth so much, but it's run away from the person of truth, from Jesus. See, Jesus shows up on the scene and he starts to say, I come full of grace and full of truth. He says, you know, in me, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the way in a world that's lost its way. I'm the truth definitive that you can stand your weight on. I'm life in all its fullness when life seems to be such a sham and a mask and a pretense. I am life. And I've got truth for you, 2014. And the truth I've got won't restrict you and restrict your freedom. It will free you to live. One of the most famous stories that's told about Jesus is the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus and Nicodemus, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and he wants to talk about this transformation and this truth stuff. He wants to know stuff from Jesus. And they start to have this conversation, and Jesus says, what you need is utter life transformation. You need everything from the inside out changed. You need to be born again. You need to know some truth about who you are, Nicodemus, and who God is. And he says, here's the truth. For God so loved the world. He's not a hater, he's a lover. That he gave his only son. That's me, Jesus. That whoever believes in him, that's you, Nicodemus, whoever believes in him will not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. We'll have transformation. What you need is an encounter with Jesus. You see, an encounter with Jesus will have you thinking differently about God. Suddenly, God is no longer some kind of Star Wars distant dominant figure who's just up in the clouds somewhere. And suddenly, God is not some kind of religious figure who hangs around in church and smells like church. He's all to do with religion. Or God is not some kind of traffic cop God who's out to get you and send you to hell. No, God is some kind of Jesus God who's full of grace, and he's full of truth, and he's full of love, and he's full of life. You'll think differently about God, and you'll think differently about yourself. You are not what your mother once said to you. You're not what your father once did to you. You're not what the kids at school called you. You are not your grade point average. You are not what you earn, what you own, or what your dress size is. No. You are created in the image of God, this God. He wants to transform you so you can live your best life. He loves you completely, wants to forgive you, and set you on a path to walk in lockstep with him through life. That's who you are. But here's the thing. You've got to go all in. You've got to go all in. Psychologists, clever guys, they have a term for the transformation space. They call it liminal space. Liminal space is threshold space. It's off-balance space. It's when you move from one reality to another reality, and you have an opportunity to change, to think differently, and be transformed. It's a really important concept. Way back before they thought that, my ancestors, the Celtic monastic fathers, they had a phrase as well. They called it thin space or thin place, a place where heaven touches earth, a place where God encounters human beings, a place when you have an opportunity to change and be transformed, a place when Jesus walks with us. And let me be so presumptuous to suggest that right here, right now, in this room, liminal space. Right here, right now, in this room, a thin place, a place where Jesus walks. A place where heaven touches earth. A place where we have an opportunity to step out of some stuff and into some stuff. A place where we can say, you know what, I want to stop thinking that way because it's killing me and other people are getting killed by the shrapnel of my life. And I want to start thinking this way. A place where you can say, I want to leave behind some of those controlling addictions and I want to step into this stuff. I want to leave behind some of those difficult relationships and I want to move into this stuff. I want to move into encountering Jesus and living truth. I want metamorphosis. I want transformation because I know that's going to last. I'm all in. I'm all in. So here's the thing. As we come to the climax of our time together, I'm going to ask you to do something physically which is going to demonstrate what you're doing spiritually. If somehow, in some way, you think possibly God might have been speaking to you today, I'm going to ask you to shuffle forward in your seat and sit right on the edge of your seat on that off-balance bit where you might fall over. You up for that? Should we do that right now? If God, maybe he's been speaking, you've been challenged, you want to make this move and say, I want to step into liminal space, I want to step into this transformation place, I don't want any more of the chain stuff, I want transformation. You just do that with me. And what I'm going to do, don't fall over. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us and ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us in this space. Is that okay? Let's do it. Father, we love you and we trust you. We trust your word and we want to live under your authority. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. And would you seal deals in the hearts and minds of all my brothers and sisters in this room? As we step out, would you help us leave some things behind? Maybe just in the quietness, you want to name those things before God. Things that you need to leave behind. And Father, we want to step into a living, active relationship with your Son who changes everything. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you change hearts and lives? Would you help us make decisions right in this moment that would last for eternity? We don't want to live any longer conformed to the pattern of the world around us, owned by its philosophies. We want to live according to the Word of God and the Son of God. We want truth because we want to be set free. We want to stop believing the things that we've had said over us about who we are and start believing the things that you say about us. So, Holy Spirit, would you come?